excited about serving Him. I believe that's what God is looking for today, someone that can really get excited about serving Him. You know, I don't know about you, but all I got to do is look around the world today and see what is here and to look forward by faith and see what God has prepared for us, and I can get excited. I've got something to get excited about. God's a great God. He's got everything under control. 28th chapter of the book of Acts, beginning with the first verse. The Word of God says, now, when they had escaped, they found out that the island was called Malta. And the natives showed us unusual kindness, for they kindled a fire and made us all welcome because of the rain that was falling and because of the cold. But when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid on the fire, the viper came up out because of the heat and fastened on his hand. So when the natives saw the creature hanging from his hands, they said to one another, no doubt this man is a murderer whom, though he has escaped the sea, yet justice does not allow him to live. But he shook the creature off into the fire and suffered no harm. However, they were expecting that he would swell up or suddenly fall down dead. But after they had looked for a long time and saw that no harm came to him, they changed their minds and said that he was a god. In that region, there was an estate of the leading citizen of the island, whose name was Publius. Who received us and entertained us continuously for 3 days. And it happened that the father of Publius lay sick of a fever and dysentery, and Paul went in to him and prayed, and he laid his hands on him and healed him. And when this was done, the rest of those on the island who had diseases came to him and were healed, and they also honored us many ways. And when they departed, they provided such things as was needed for our journey. Father, we love you and we praise you and we thank you for your word, and we ask you to just minister powerfully to us and through us, and ask you, Lord God, to open the hearts of the people that are here, that they'd be able to receive the word that you have for them. And Father, we just want to give you honor and give you glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You know, this is a story to me of just simple favor, the favor of God, the favor of God. We could preach revival. We could preach healings. We could preach miracles. We could preach everything from this one little passage of Scripture. But I want to talk with you about favor, just more favor of God. How many of you know that of all things that we could receive from the Lord, the best thing you can have is favor? I don't care what you do for a living or what you've studied, what you want to do or anything else. The favor of God will take you further than you can take yourself. The favor of God will take you further than anything else. You just can stop and realize how God's favor will minister not only to us, but through us. And because of Him, we're able to be able to do the things that we're able to do. This is simply a story of just more favor. It's just favor. It's your favor. And when you receive something that you did not earn, or maybe you feel like you didn't even deserve it, but still, after everything was said and done, you got it. That's the favor of God. That's one of those things that you don't have to work for. All you got to do is just believe God and walk in His presence and know that He's God, and God will pour His favor out on you. There's not a person in this building this morning that hasn't experienced the favor of God. God has favored us. God's given us much, much favor. And favor is one of those things that is the thing that you get without breaking a sweat for. You don't have to work for it. You don't have to do anything. All you have to do is just believe. And favor, the favor of God, comes in many, many different forms. Favor may come in the form of relationships. Favor may come in the form of finance. It may come in the form of healing. But it's all the favor of God. It's God's favor on us. And we need to recognize that all good things come from God. All good things come from God. And so when things happen to us and we get things that we don't, it's God's favor landing on us. I've learned that no matter what happens to me, good or bad, God's in control of it. God's totally in control of my life. And even though at a moment I may think it's bad, God's going to turn it around and make something good out of it. And God is control, and favor is either in me or on its way to me. God's favor is either in me or on its way to me. In other words, if things aren't going the way they need to go for me to move forward in the will of God in my life, then I know that the favor has just not got here yet.
Yes.
But it's on its way.
Yes.
It's either in me or it's coming to me.
Yes.
Listen, it's the favor of God that is on your life that's going to help you overcome the circumstances and the situation that you have to live in. It's the favor of God that will keep your enemy at bay. It's the favor of God that will keep sickness away from you. It's the favor of God. I want you to look at somebody and say, God loves you. Matter of fact, you even favor him a little bit. We realize it's the favor of God that has given us what we have. It's God's favor upon us. And all those good things that come to us come through him. Favor is on its way. If you're not walking in the favor of God, I want you to hang in there, because the favor's coming. And when the favor's coming, you'll overcome the enemy in your life. Listen, I've always said this, and I believe it with everything in me. If you walk in the favor of God, if someone tries or something, the enemy tries to destroy you, he's going to have to outlast the favor of God. The favor of God's going to be there. The favor of God rests on his people. And we need to realize that. The problem is not that we don't have favor. The problem is we're not walking in it. So what we need to learn how to do is walk in the favor of God. God's got favor for you, and all you need to do is learn how to walk in it. And one of the age-old questions about the favor of God is how to walk in the favor, how to obtain the favor of God, how to acquire it. Listen, I have a spiritual son. He has favor with me, and it's not because he's earned it. He hasn't worked for it, but you know what it is? He loves me, and he's willing to show it. You may tell you how to just walk in the favor of God, love him, and be willing to show it. No matter what the circumstances are, be willing to show God you love him. It doesn't matter what comes or goes or what it looks like. Just show God that you love. Let me tell you something. That'll take the worry out of your whole life. If you'll just begin to show God how much you love him. And every time something comes into your life that's not of God, just begin to think about your relationship with the Lord. Just begin to think about how much God loves you. You may not like the situation or the circumstance that you're in, but one thing about it, God's still in control of your life. It doesn't matter what you're going through. God is in control. God is the God of everything. He's not God of most things or some things. He's the God of everything. So we got to recognize that if we walk in the favor of God, and because he loves us and because we love him and we are willing to show it, then God is going to bestow his favor upon us. It's not performance based. It's not a faith thing. It's a life thing. How many of you know that living for God has got to be a life thing? It's not a faith thing. Because I don't care who you are or how, what you think of yourself, I promise you, your faith will fail you. Look at Peter. Who would have ever thought that here's a guy walked on water. Your faith will fail you. But let me tell you, the love of God will never fail you. The love of God is going to sustain you when nothing else will sustain you. And we got to just recognize the fact that God loves us, and his love brings favor to us, and his favor will never run. It's not faith. It's not how much faith you have. Man, I tell you what, I love to be around people that are so full of faith that every time they talk about how great God is and what God's done and what God is going to do, what they're believing God for. But let me tell you, it's those people that walk the walk. It's those people that every day, day in and day out, are loving God and are willing to show God how much they love him. Those are the ones that God is going to bestow his favor upon him. See, you got to find favor and then you got to walk in it. Favor is going to come from God. You're not going to find it in the world. You're not going to find it in some new thing that you come up with. Favor comes directly from God. And it's something that's not earned. It's given. I like to refer to favor as a sweatless victory. It's just sweatless. You don't have to work for it. You don't have to sweat for it. It's a sweatless victory. God just begins to love you and say, I want to just show you how much I love you and bestow his favor upon you. We talk about David. So every time you mention the favor of God, you almost have to talk about David, because David's a man that walked in the favor of God. He walked in favor. And the reason he walked in favor was not because he was such a good guy. Amen? Come on, work with me just a little bit. It wasn't that he was sad. And it wasn't that he never made mistakes. You know what it was? It was the fact that he wasn't afraid to show God just how much he loved him and how much he trusted him. He was willing to say it. I believe that there's death, according to the word of God, there's death and life in the tongue. And we need to begin to speak those things that are not as though they were and believe God for them. I believe that we need to speak more positively when we're doing our praying to God and begin to confess to him how much we really trust him and how much we believe in him. Listen, favor of God is the greatest thing in the world that you can possess, because the enemy cannot destroy the favor of God. Because when the enemy runs out, guess what's going to still be there? The favor of God. God's favor that he's bestowed is still going to be there. Listen, we got to realize that we got to find that favor, and then we just have to walk in it. You know, you find favor by simply believing. How many of you have had someone come to you and say, you know, I just believe that you can do this or you can do that. I just believe that this about you or that. And it's also good. You know what? They just get favor automatically. Are you with me? So what we need to do is begin to realize that God's going to operate on that same basis with you. When you go to the Lord, I love the way Jesus says, hey, when you guys pray, this is the way you pray. Our Father who art, holy is your, hallowed be thy name. Begin to admonish him as who he really is. Yeah. He's God of the whole earth. Yeah. He's God. And begin to tell him how much you love him and how much you care for him and how much you trust in him. And you know that regardless of what you have to walk through, that when you get through that, the favor of God is going to be dripping off of you, and you're not going to worry about anything that you have to walk through, because God is going to go before you, and he's going to be your front guard, he's going to be your rear guard, and he's going to encamp about you that you'll be able to walk through the toils of this world. See, I really believe that the favor of God is the thing that is going to give the church victory in this last day. Look, you can't change people. I don't even get an amen out there. My God. So all of you think that you can't change people. You can't change people. Only God can change people. And it's the favor of God on you that is going to give you the influence to sow into their life, into their mind, into their heart, where they will make a change in their life. It's that favor of God. And you and I don't have the ability to change people. Only God has that ability. Listen, when we obtain something by favor, We don't have to work for it. We don't have to fight for it. Listen, you get it by simply believing. Believing that he is God. How many of you know that we have kind of like mixed up favor and faith? There's a difference. See, if you and I would just walk in the favor of God, God's going to go before us, and he's going to make the crooked path straight. He's going to overcome the obstacles in your life. But you can't do it and give him the credit for it. Come on. You can't overcome him and give him the credit for it. That's not what he's looking for. He's looking for someone that's willing to stand and see his power worked for them.
Yeah.
You know, one of the worst things in the world that can happen to people when they get involved spiritually and go into spiritual warfare and go into spiritual battle and go into preaching and go into teaching and evangelism and all of these things is they tend to think they got the power. Yeah. Hello? Yeah. They tend to think they have the power.
Yeah.
But you don't have any power.
Yeah.
It's not me, Paul said, but it's Christ in me. He has all the power. You and I don't have the power. We just have the body to get to the other people.
Yeah.
And we're his hands, we're his feet, we're his mouthpiece. We just recognize who we really are. And our power, the only power we have is being obedient to God's Spirit, to God's Holy Spirit. That's the power that you and I have as a church. And we need to recognize this. And we got to realize that favor that we have is what God has put on us. Can I tell you, if we were all on a ship this morning and we were in a shipwreck in the middle of a storm and we had to swim to shore, and when we got to the shore, we met up with more rain, more cold weather. How many of us would think that we're living in the favor of God? That'd be difficult, wouldn't it? You know, Paul said, in all things give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. In all things give thanks. I just got to be honest with you. If I was having to swim ashore, fight the wind, fight the water, fight the waves, it's cold, I wouldn't be, thank you, Jesus. This is the worst time I've ever had in my life. Thank you, Jesus. No. I mean, some of you may glow in the dark when you sleep. You're so anointed. I don't know. But I don't. And I can tell you, it would be hard for me to be giving God glory and to give him thanks if it was me and I was in the middle of that storm and I was in this shipwreck. But when they escaped, they finally got ashore. The Bible tells us that they escaped the storm. They landed on this island, and it was called Malta. Malta is about 50 miles south of Italy. I've been there. Malta is a small place. As a matter of fact, if I could give you a visual of it, Malta is about the size of Lake Kinneret, the Sea of Galilee. The Sea of Galilee. The Sea of Galilee, I think, is 14 and a half miles long and 8 miles wide. This is 17 miles long and 9 miles wide. So pretty much the same. And they landed on this little island, beautiful island, by the way. They landed on this island, and so when they got there, the natives of that island was very kind. I've heard all kinds of sermons preached on this, that they were unusually kind to them. And so we kind of think, okay, well, maybe the natives of Malta are mean people. And normally they're ugly to everybody, but all of a sudden they made a change of heart, and they were real, real nice. They were very unusually friendly, kind to these people. But that was not the case. The natives of the island were kind people anyway, but they were so kind that it was considered unusual. It was extreme. They looked past the storm. They looked past their present circumstances and made comfort for those people they had never met.
Yeah.
Are you with me? They didn't know who they were, where they come, but they overlooked all of the things that they were going through on that island, the storm and what the storm was doing. They said, you know what? I don't care what goes on around me. We're going to be friendly to these people. We're going to take care. We're going to meet every need that they have. So it was unusually kind because God's favor, believe it or not, was upon Paul. God's favor was upon Paul, and it affected everyone that was with Paul. Let me say that again. God's favor was on Paul. And it affected everyone. That's the reason you need to rub elbows with the right folk. That's the reason that we need to know who that we're dealing with. That's the reason it's important, as your parents would tell you when you were younger, as to who you run around with. Are you with me? Because the favor was on Paul, but everyone received the blessing. The favor was on Paul. Everybody got the blessing. So we need to realize that what happened was Paul, the favor of God was on Paul, and so everybody was going to get blessed. And so when Paul got there, this blessing was for Paul, but everybody got it? So what happens is no, we should never suffer to not assemble together. We need to be together. We need to rub elbows together. We need to know that we're in this thing together. We need to know that regardless of what happened, if one of us receives favor, all of us are going to receive favor. We're in the same boat. We're not in different boats. We're in the same boat, and if one of us receives favor, if the ship's saved, then everybody's going to be saved. Amen. So here they are. How many of you ever stopped to think about it? When you get God in the mix, everything becomes unusual. Let me put it another word. Everything becomes extraordinary. You can take anything ordinary, put God in the mix, and it becomes extraordinary. Are you with me? All right. So they were kind to them, unusually kind to them, because God got in the mix. Yeah. How many of you would say with me this morning, I kind of not need God in the mix with me. I've walked this journey long enough by myself. Yeah. I need God in the mix with me, because I know that when God gets in the mix, everything that is ordinary is going to become extraordinary. And the power of God and the favor of God is going to lay on me and everyone around me. High five somebody and say, we're in this together. Come on, we're in this together. We're in this together. We're in this thing together, and we got to stick together. Because that's, how many of you know that's what the enemy wants to do, is separate you? If you've connected with the body of Christ, then the enemy wants to disconnect you. You know the story. I'll be real quick in it. How that the Lord looked over at Peter on that journey down the Via Dolorosa, and he said, Simon, Simon, Satan desires to have you, to sift you as wheat. How many of you know how they sifted wheat? They threw it up in the air and let the wind take the wheat for him. See, he said, the enemy wants to separate you, but I've prayed for you. But I've prayed for you that your faith fail you not. Now, what's this? What's this? How many of you know that Peter had been Peter for 2.5 years? But all of a sudden, he was Simon. 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 How many of you know that the enemy would like to have you revert back to where you were? The enemy would like to have you, but let me tell you, the favor of God won't allow that to happen. You know why? Because you look ahead. You see what is ahead. You don't see those circumstances that you're living in right now. You begin to see what is ahead. If you look at what you're at right now, you know what you'll do? You'll make permanent decisions while you're living in temporary circumstances. You'll make permanent decisions while you're living in temporary circumstances. Oh, I would advise anybody here, I don't care if you're in ministry, out of ministry, should be in the ministry or shouldn't be in the ministry, I don't care. I'm here to tell you that you and I need to recognize that we do not make permanent decisions while we're living in temporary circumstances. I love what Paul said. Paul said, I know that this thing is going to come to my deliverance. In other words, he was saying, I know this thing's temporary. You know, we got to recognize that we're not living in permanent circumstances unless we're living in the Spirit of God. Once we get there, then once we know that we're in God's will, then God will be able to move us. So we never, ever, ever make permanent decision while we're living in temporary circumstances. Now, the Bible says that those natives were extremely, unusually kind to them. And as I said before, I can assure you that I know a couple of other people that I'm real close with that we'd be moaning and groaning. Every stroke, we'd be crying at God, why didn't you let this happen to me? You know. We would have been griping and complaining and carrying on. We'd been just like the children of Israel when they came out of Egypt. Yeah, we need to recognize right here that when the spirit of the enemy wants to put a complaint in our lives, then that is the time you and I need to depend on the favor of God. Look to the future and see what God has for you down the road. You'd probably throw rocks at what you have now. Somebody say amen to that. So we realize that these temporary circumstances, Paul knew that the things that he was living in now were simply temporary, were only temporary. And so whatever you are going through this morning, whatever is happening in your life, I want you to realize it is only temporary. You and God make a majority, and you and God's going to come out of this thing. This past week was a week that I spent in prayer and supplication before the Lord and just seeking His face for the future. Not for today. How many of you know today is going to take care of itself?
Amen.
Whatever happened to you today, you made that decision yesterday or some other day. But what I want you to see is that there comes a time when you just got to pray for the future. God, I want your will tomorrow. I want your will next week. I want your will next month. I just want to be in your favor. And if anybody misses you, don't let it be me. I don't want it to be me. Let it be somebody. I don't want it to be me. So we got to begin to recognize that the favor of God is for tomorrow. Everything about today is temporary. And yesterday's already happened. I heard one time that you can't change what happened yesterday. No, but God can. So Paul recognized that whatever he went through was temporary. Whatever you are going through is only temporary. Now, when we're talking about living in the favor of God, we can go through this book and we'll find that God's people, when God's people have faith in Him, the favor always comes. Not sometime, always. When you trust God, and see, I'm one of those guys that I believe that you can take faith and trust and interchange those words. If you have faith in God, if you trust God, if regardless of what you're going through and what is happening to you, that if you have faith in Him, the favor will come. And no one can stop it. Watch this. Hebrews 11:5 says, by faith Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death and was not found because God had taken him. I would consider that favor. How about you guys? I would say that when you're walking with God, and I'm paraphrasing, and you're walking with God, and you're having a good conversation with the Lord, and it's time to go back, and you say, God, I need to go back. He said, no, just come on to my house. Well, I mean, I'm not ready. And the Lord says, that's not your decision. Come on, let's go to my house. And you know what the Bible says? And Enoch was not. Kind of lets you finish that in your own mind, in your own heart. And Enoch was not. Was not what? Was not. For the Lord took him. And he became, that's the favor of God. Listen, you and I need to recognize the fact that when the favor of God rests upon us, that regardless of what we go through and regardless of what people think, that God has our lives completely under control. God has our lives completely under control. Hebrews 11 and 8 says, when Abraham had faith to go out of his homeland to a land he did not know, and he received an inheritance. That is favor. That's favor. That's favor simply because he obeyed God. And he wasn't ashamed to do what God said to. He wasn't ashamed to claim him as who he really was. And Abraham went out of a land that he knew to a land that he knew not. And the Bible says, and he received an inheritance. That's just favor. See, where there's obedience, there's inheritance. I'm just going to say this real quickly because it's important to you. How many of you know that when you're obedient to God and you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and you allow Him to retain all of your sins and get rid of them for you, you get an inheritance? And the reason you get an inheritance is because you're part of the family. You get a family inheritance. And so that is favor. He received an inheritance. Hebrews 11:11 says, by faith, Sarah had strength to bear a child at the age of 90. Now, I don't know if that's favor or not. If 90 I had to start all over, I'd say, oh, Lord, why did you do this to me? Why? In Genesis 41:40, Joseph went from the pit to the palace only, and the only person he had answered to was Pharaoh. Now, that is favor. I mean, we could go through this whole book, and we could say, here is a guy that was a foreigner that wound up second in command. That's the favor of God. That's because he could dream and interpret dream. That's not difficult to do. You don't break a sweat doing that. So here he is. And the Bible says that he went from the pit to the palace and he had favor. Now, Daniel, in his book, talks about his friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who would not worship the gods of Babylon. So they were cast into a fiery furnace and came out without the smell of smoke. Now what's this? And while they were in the fiery furnace, they got to meet with Jesus, the Son of Man. Now, I wouldn't even call that favor. I'd call that overwhelming favor. Listen, I got good news for you. And I got bad news too. The bad news, I give that to you first. If you don't accept Jesus Christ, there's no help for you. He's the answer. He's the only answer. But the good news is none of us have to go through a fiery furnace to meet Jesus this morning. None of us have to. He's already paid the price. I love this in finishing. Matter of fact, I want you to go ahead and stand up because I'm through. I want you to see when we finish this that when Paul went to put the sticks on the fire, the viper came up out of the fire because of the heat. And he latched them to his hand. And And the folks standing around said, surely this man is a murderer, because even though he escaped the sea, justice is going to keep him from it. He's got to die. Justice is going to prevail. And you know this. I love it. Paul just shook the serpent off into the fire. Just shook it off. Just shook it off. And what's it? How many of you ever stopped to think that what Paul was signifying to them was justice had already been done? It was done at Calvary. Are y'all there with me? Justice has already been done for you and for I. Let me tell you something. So the Bible says that he shook it off. But the reason they thought he was a murderer was because of he had some stuff hanging off of him, mainly a serpent. And because of what was hanging off of him, they concluded he was a murderer. How many of you know that we as human beings, we like to deal with that stuff that's hanging off of us? You know why? Because people can see it. They can see that stuff, and we want to get rid of that stuff that's hanging off of us because everybody notices it. Somebody say amen to that. You know that's the truth. And the problem is it's those things that nobody can see that you need to deal with. Those things that are within you. Those pride issues. Lord, don't let me be like those publicans. Those pride issues. Those are the things that we need to, those things that people cannot see. Those are the things that's going to hurt you and keep you out and hold you back. We need to recognize that Paul had some stuff hanging on him. And he wanted to deal with it. How many of you would say with me this morning, because I tell you, I got stuff hanging. I don't mind telling you, you can't see it, but it's hanging. And we have to deal with those things. I don't want something that is so insignificant as my personal feelings or my pride or something to hinder me from being a part of the kingdom of God. God, get rid of that stuff. Well, you sing an old chorus. You won't leave here like you came in Jesus' name. That's an old one, I know. You won't leave here. And you know, this morning, you don't have to leave here like you came. You can shake it off. You can just shake it off, shake it off, shake it off, shake it off. Listen, Elvis sang a song, and in there one of the lyrics was a whole lot of shaking going on. That's what we need to see in the church today. I know I'm going way back, but it doesn't matter. I'm temporary. And so are you. We all are. Amen? So what we recognize here is that we got things hanging on to us that tells people who we really are. We need to get rid of it this morning. Every head bowed with me. Every head bowed, every eye just closed for just a moment. These things that the enemy has put in your life, and they seem to just sort of hang on. I want you to just get rid of it. Just like Paul, he shook it off, and it suffered him no harm. And all you have to do is shake it off spiritually this morning. Just shake it off. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know how the enemy is tempting you. I don't know how the enemy is coming to your life. But I do know this. You can shake it off spiritually, and it'll be gone. So in your mind, in your heart, I want you to say, I just shake off those things that the enemy has put into my life. You don't have to leave here like you came. Reason? Because you have the favor of God on you. God loves you so much that he sent his only begotten son to die for your sin. So all you have to do is walk in that favor. He shook it off. He shook it off. And the reason he could shake it off is because justice had been obtained at Calvary for him and for you and I. Father God, I love you and I praise you and I thank you for your word. And I ask you, Lord, to just allow this word to minister to those people that you've sent it to. And Lord God, I know that what we're going through, we can shake it off. I know that the enemy cannot hold us captive any longer. That the power of your word and the nature of God Almighty says we are more than conquerors through Jesus Christ. And Father, we turn it over to you. And we say, shake it off of us, God. Shake it off of us, God. I'd like to have our prayer partners come up to the front. And if you would, and if you have a need in your life, if you have a need in your family, I invite you to come right now. And I want you to come believing in God, expecting the favor of God to destroy anything that's holding you back. And remember, give him the glory in Jesus' name. Come anytime you will. If you don't want to come, you don't have a need to pray, or you don't have anything bothering you, and you're walking in the Spirit of God, and the devil's running from you, and you have no problems in your life, then I'm going to dismiss you and let you go. Go and enjoy the rest of the day with your family. But if you like prayer, we're up here to pray for you this morning.